Hi, everyone. Thanks for joining us on the Kirk Church Podcast. I'm Aaron Elmore, lead pastor at Kirk at the Hills, located in Tulsa, Oklahoma. This is where you can hear messages from all our pastors and guest speakers. Make sure to subscribe and share with anyone who follows the Kirk. If you want to know more about us, visit us at thekirk.com, like us on Facebook, or follow us on Instagram at The Kirk Church. Let's get started with today's episode.
It is a blessing for me to be here this morning to share the word with you today on this special day. It's a special day because we're honoring Shano, and it's such a blessing to have his family here with us and just to celebrate what God has done in his life and ministry. And so that's a great thing. And today we are also concluding our sermon series, which is entitled Seven. And we've been focusing on the seven values that we hold near and dear to our hearts here at Kirk of the Hills. And today we're going to be looking at the last value, what it means to be Bible grounded. Now, we've been working through the Sermon on the Mount over these last several weeks and looking at how our values are reflected in what Jesus preached and proclaimed in the Sermon on the Mount. And he ended with this story that Danae Nash from Marshall Elementary just read for you. It's a great story that we all learned when we were in Sunday school, but yet it is really profound and very important for us. So let's take a look at our value. Our value is to be Bible grounded. And we have defined that in this way, as being demonstrated by grounding everything that we believe, say, and do on God's authoritative word. Amen? That is who we are here at the Kirk. And how do we measure that? Well, we've given you this question to ask yourself each morning, what scripture is guiding my thoughts today? Am I in the scriptures? Is the scripture guiding me? Is there new and fresh word of the Lord instilled in my life each day? That's the question that we need to be asking ourselves. So now we're going to turn to our story, the story of the wise and the foolish builder. Great story. I want us to think about it as we work our way through it. We're going to look at the four elements that make up the story. And as we work through it, we'll notice that some of these elements are parallel, and some of them stand in contrast to one another. It's important as we analyze it to look at that and think, which ones are the same and which ones stand opposite of each other and are different. So let's begin now with the first element. And the first element is the builder. It says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise builder. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish builder. So notice the difference here. Both builders hear the word of God, but one puts them into practice and the other one does not put them into practice. So I want us to think about the difference between being wise and being foolish. It's defined by what we do and what we do not do, isn't it? It's not defined by who we are. And the reason I use the word builder here, in the text it actually says it's like a wise man or a foolish man, but I really believe that Jesus is speaking very broadly to his disciples. It doesn't matter if you're a man or a woman. It doesn't matter if you are a man or a boy, old or young. It doesn't matter if you have been in the church for a long time and been following the Lord for many years, or if you're relatively new to the faith. If you are doing what Jesus says, then you are wise. And if you are not doing it, then you are foolish. It's not defined by what we know or even what we say. I think many times we think about wisdom and we think about it in terms of words that are spoken, words of wisdom, right? We think of the old man sitting cross-legged on the top of the mountain with the long white beard, right? And he's the wise sage, and he's spouting words of wisdom. But Jesus says it's not about what we say, it's about what we do. What we do with what we know, what we do with what we hear. Actions determine the difference between wisdom and folly. That's the first element of our story. The second element is the ground. The wise builder built his house on the rock. But the foolish builder built his house on sand. So let's talk a little bit about the ground. Along the northern shore of the Sea of Galilee, there's sand. And that sand during the summer gets hard. It dries out and it becomes hard. But because of the silt deposit that are brought down from the Jordan River that flows into the northern part of the Sea of Galilee there is layer upon layer of material. And the bedrock is very, very deep. You have to dig deep into the ground in order to find that bedrock, in order to found your house on the rock. The wise man begins to build his house by choosing a shovel. So I brought my shovel here today. And there's a few things. Well, let's talk a little bit about this for a moment. Many of you ever used a shovel to build a house? I mean, to dig the foundation of a house? It's not easy work, is it? I mean, I'm not talking about shoveling snow. I'm talking about digging the foundation of a house. I grew up in suburban New Jersey. I didn't know anything about shovels, really. But then I moved to Costa Rica, and I spent a lot of time on the end of a shovel. And a few things I learned in my time there. One of the things that I learned is that it's really hard work. I mean, hard work. It takes a lot of energy and a lot of focus and a lot of dedication to dig the foundation of a building by hand. I also learned that the ground doesn't cooperate. It really doesn't. I want you to think about it for a moment. The ground is all of this material, rocks and gravel and sand and dirt and roots, all compacted together, some of them over years, some of them over hundreds of years of undisturbed material being compacted together. And it's your job with this shovel to break up those bonds and move it aside so that you can get to the rock that's down below. Well, think about that in terms of our own spirituality, our own spiritual life. There's all kinds of habits that have formed over a lifetime. There's all kinds of values and elements of our culture that have formed over hundreds of years. There's all kinds of issues in our human nature that have formed over millennia of sin in our world. And we have to dig through all of that in order to get to the truth and to found our life on the truth of who Jesus is and what he has said. The other thing that I learned as I spent time with this shovel is that when you're finished laying a foundation, it doesn't look very impressive. We used to bring these short-term teams down to Costa Rica all the time, and some of the unlucky ones would arrive at the time when we were ready to dig the foundation. And so we'd hand them a shovel. And we'd say, start digging. And they would work for 2 weeks digging holes and then hand mixing cement with the same shovel. And then they would tie steel by hand and they would lay it in the trenches and they would pour that cement over top of it and there would be nothing to take pictures of when they were done. They'd take pictures of the dirt and a few pieces of rebar sticking out. And they'd say, well, but this isn't very impressive. And they'd take that home to their churches and their churches would say, that's all you did? Why? Because the nature of a foundation is that it's hidden, right? It's underneath the dirt and you can't see it very well. Nobody sees the work that you put into your spiritual foundation. If people do see the work that you have put in, they're not very impressed. The world looks at us and they say, you spend how much time every day reading an ancient book? What are you, crazy? Let's talk about the foolish man. The foolish man builds his house by choosing a broom rather than a shovel. You know, a broom is a lot easier to use when you compare it to a shovel, isn't it? You see, the sand, like I said, in the northern part of the Sea of Galilee gets hard. Well, sort of hard. Hard enough, right? So all you need to just kind of level it out a little bit. And then you start building your house. That's all you need to do. You know, we just need to go to a church service every once in a while. You know, we could just watch online whenever it's convenient. We don't have anything better to do. You know, or we could read a devotional book, you know, when we have a chance. I mean, not one of those difficult ones like, you know, Oswald Chambers or something like that. I mean, one of the ones that are kind of fluffy. We could do that every once in a while, right? You know what's interesting when you think about the idea of building your foundation on the sand? I came prepared. Building your foundation on the sand is that during the dry months, that foundation on the sand looks the same as the one that's dug down deep into the earth and founded on the rock. They look the same. See, nobody sees the lack of work that you have put into your spiritual foundation. Because your foundation is hidden. So no one can see it. So in the times that are good, the sunny days, everything looks the same. Let's move on from the ground and let's talk about the third element of this story, and that is the weather. It says, the wise builder built his house on the rock. The rain came down and the streams rose and the wind blew and beat against the house. But the foolish builder built his house on the sand. The rain came down and the streams rose and the wind blew and beat against that house. Did you notice that these statements are perfectly parallel? They are exactly the same. They are word for word a repetition in the first verse that we see and in the latter verse talking about the fool. Why is that? Jesus is making a point, isn't he? He's making the point that the weather affects us all, no matter who we are. The difficulties, the trials, the tragedies of life happen to all of us, no matter who we are, no matter whether we're a disciple of Christ, whether we're not, whether we're well prepared or whether we're not. When I think of the wind and the rain, especially here in Oklahoma, I think of the constant, slow assault on our house. That constant assault. It happens all the time. It happens so frequently that we don't really pay much attention to it. But you know, that's what the world is doing to us constantly. It's constantly eroding us. It's working to destroy us little by little by little by little. These are the pull of sin in our lives. Constantly tugging on our coattails. It's the allure of this world and all of the temptations that are involved in it. It's the values of this world that sneak into our lives and begin to affect the way we see the world. It's the constant stresses and difficulties and disappointments of life. When I think of the flood coming, you know, the rains came down and the floods came up. When I think of the flood, when it comes, I think of those sudden, tragic, and difficult events that happen in our lives. They come, don't they? Catastrophic events. The ones that we're never prepared for, like cancer, when it shows up in our life or in the life of someone that we love. Maybe the death of a loved one. Maybe the loss of a job. Maybe the loss or the rejection that's associated with the loss of a relationship. Life does not look at how well you're prepared. Life just happens. It just comes at you. It takes you by surprise, doesn't it? Or does it? Are we really supposed to be surprised when difficulty comes into our life? You know, I think the answer is no, when we really begin to think about it. We all know that it's going to happen. You know, you ever have somebody tell you, it's not if you have an accident, it's when. That's why you need Allstate, right? Right? Isn't that right? I mean, isn't that why we do it? Isn't that why we get injured? Because we know that eventually those things are going to come, and you have to be prepared for it. And the same is true in our own lives, isn't it? Is that me? I move around too much. Are we going to prepare or not? And that's probably the biggest question that we need to ask today. Are we going to use a shovel to dig down deep and establish our life on the truth of God's word and live out what Jesus has told us to do? Or are we just going to sweep lightly across the surface, kind of flatten it out as best we can, and then move on? Are we going to dig down deep while the sun is still shining? Or are we going to be taken by surprise when difficulty and tragedy strikes our life? The final element of our story is the house. Is the house. It says the wise builder built his house on the rock. And the rain came down and the streams rose and the winds blew and beat against the house, yet it did not fall because it was built on the rock. The foolish builder, however, built his house on the sand, and the rains came down and the streams rose and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. What is the house? The house represents your life. The house is your reputation. It's who you are deep down inside. It's your integrity. It's your relationships. It's your relationship with your wife, with your children, with your parents, with your coworkers and your friends. And it's your accomplishments. It's what you have done with the years on earth that God has given you. Notice that all of it depends on that unseen foundation. That unseen spiritual foundation in your life. Your investment in the Word of God. Have you taken the time to invest in God's Word? Have you gone to Bible study? Have you taken time to read God's Word? Have you really thought about how do I apply this in my life and begin to live differently? Because actions determine wisdom. Have you gone through that process? If you've taken the countless hours and energy to dig down to the rock, then all that you've done will last. Your house may get beat up a little bit, but it'll stand. That's what Jesus says. But if you decided to choose the broom and just sweep lightly across the surface, then when tragedy comes and difficulty comes into your house, everything that you work for, everything that you have accomplished will collapse, will be destroyed in a great crash. So our question today is this: what are you going to choose? Shovel? Or the broom? God's calling us to get serious about being Bible grounded in our lives. Amen? Amen. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for this opportunity to look into your word and be challenged by it, to think about what it means to ground our lives in your teachings, not only to hear them, not only to understand them, Lord, but to do them, to live them out. And even now, Lord God, we have a living example before us, someone whose shovel is beat up, and that's Shauna Raranji. And as we celebrate the call that you have placed in his life, may he be an inspiration to us to dig deep and found our lives on the truth of the gospel. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.